We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
7:15 now. A beautiful Thursday awaits you. Highs of 73. You're saying a 20% chance for showers, but I would think that would mostly be gone. Right now, we're averaging, oh, maybe around 65 degrees throughout the metro area. And we're watching that disturbance in the Gulf, especially as it relates to the structural collapse of the Hard Rock Hotel project there at the corner of Rampart and Canal. So we're going to talk to a meteorologist in a little bit, see how much of a problem that could be. First, you know, a lot of us stand around the water cooler and talk about maybe a talking point that we hear here or there about the Kurds and the Turks, and they do this and he did that, and there's, well, this senator said that. We thought we'd go to a professor and find out exactly what's going on, a senior fellow, as a matter of fact, at the Cato Institute Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity, Mustafa Akyol. Good morning, sir, and thank you for coming on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
What is it, I guess, if we're going to do Turks and Kurds, and I don't mean this disrespectfully at all, 101, where would we begin to understand the complexity of the complexities of these relationships and who are friends with who are enemies with who, how did we get from there to here, et cetera? The floor is yours, sir.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I mean, I don't want to be self-promoting, but I just wrote an article that write about this in the New York Times on Sunday, so I could recommend it. But there are also some great books out there as well.
Well, tell us about your op-ed. Okay.
I mean, the bottom line is that Turks and Kurds used to be peoples of the Ottoman Empire for centuries. It was a multi-ethnic and multi-religious empire. But the empire collapsed in World War I, and new nation states emerged. Turkey, Iraq, Syria, these states came up, and in the Balkans as well, Bulgaria, Serbia, and Greece. And the problem is these states didn't fully match their populations. And Kurds, in particular, found themselves divided into four different countries, Turkey, Iraq, Iran, Syria. And relatives found themselves, oh, the next village is now on the other side of the border with a barbed wire. So, and they didn't fully identify with these new states, because Turkey is the Turkish Republic. Syria and Iraq are called Arab republics. And they said, well, we don't fit. And especially in Turkey, you see Kurdish rebellions against the central authority right from the beginning. Of the republic. And Turkey suppressed them brutally, and Turkey tried to assimilate the Kurds by banning their language. A lot of stupid things Turkey done, honestly, supposedly to solve the Kurdish question, but actually made things worse. And in Turkey, this reaction to the state culminated in the PKK, ultimately, which in the early 80s combined, it's a group that combines Kurdish nationalism with Marxism-Leninism, and they initiated a guerrilla warfare against Turkey. And that was a terrorist campaign which killed 50,000 people, I mean, on both sides of the conflict in total.
And what year was that?
That started in 1984, and there has been some, you know, peace moments here and there, but it still has continued. And the problem in the recent episode is in Syria, the PKK has its own outlet. I mean, there are Kurdish forces in Syria that affiliate with the PKK, swear allegiance to the PKK's leader. And they turn out to be a great asset against ISIS. So, I mean, anybody who fights against ISIS, I think, is on the right side of history. So there's no problem there. But from Turkish perspective, oh, they are fighting ISIS, but they also are terrorists in our own definition.
Let me jump in for a second here, if I can, sir, while we work our way through this. The president said PKK was more of a threat than ISIS. Is that true? And who were we working with or fighting with in Syria against ISIS?
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. That's acting too much. I mean, ISIS is a bigger threat than anything else probably in the world. Even milder jihadist groups are, you know, you would prefer them to ISIS. ISIS is the worst, I mean, in terms of its wanton violence. And PKK is a more talkable group that you can sit down and negotiate. And they're certainly not as blood, they don't have the same bloodlust that ISIS has. But on the other hand, it is a violent group that Turkey is concerned. You know, PKK had suicide bombers that bombed Ankara, you know, in the past couple of years. And the Syrian Kurdish forces are affiliated with the PKK. That's something everybody knows. And from a U.S. perspective, well, that's all history. They're not fighting Turkey now. They're fighting ISIS, and we will ally them. That was the understanding. And Ankara got enraged with this. The Turkish society has been boiling with this in the past 4 years. U.S. is defeating ISIS, but they're bringing other terrorists, our terrorists, you know, the ones that we're concerned with, in its place. So that has been the thing. And there was this gap for years. And I finally, in the article, the recent article, I said, well, this gap should be closed. And what should be done is America should help, and we should have an understanding, because there were peace talks between Turkey and PKK. We should try to revive them. And Turkey and the Syrian forces should come to an understanding instead of Turkey going into another battle, which is not going to solve the problems.
All right, let's stop here if we can, sir. We'll pick it up when we come back. Mustafa Akgul is our guest. He is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity. If you're having a hard time understanding the complexities of the relationships between all of these groups, hang on. We'll clear it up some more when we come back. 7:21, time for traffic now on WWL. 7:25, Tommy Tucker trying to sort out all of the differences with the Kurds and PKK and Kurdistan and all of these different things. You know, no matter what the president would have done, the Democrats would have found fault with it, although the Republicans and Democrats found fault with it in the House yesterday. Two-thirds of the Republican caucus voted to rebuke the president, as did the Democrats. The final vote was 354-60 to rebuke the president over his actions in Syria. And, of course, he sent the letter to the Turkish president, and a lot of us are wondering, does anything have anything to do with us at all, given the history of the different groups in this area? So we go back to our guest now, Mustafa Akgul, to talk about all of this. Mustafa, we only have a couple of minutes left, so let me ask a couple of questions I think that a lot of people are wondering about. When it comes to Kurdistan, what is that? The president said the Kurds didn't help us in World War II. Where does the truth in that lie? What is different? Explain all of that, if you would, please.
Well, of course, the Kurds didn't help World War II. I mean, because that's a very different part of the world. I mean, Kurdistan is a geographic region between Turkey and Iraq. And, you know, World War II didn't come all the way. And, of course, there were no independent Kurdish forces at the time or state. I mean, the fact that, I mean, they were not in World War II, I think that's not that important. But,
right. I was just asking to clear it up because a lot of people wonder about that. So when it comes to Kurdistan, is that just a geographical area of reference? There is no country, right?
There are self-governed regions called Kurdistan now in Iraq. In northern Iraq, there's what's called the Kurdistan Regional Government. So it's an autonomous zone, but not a fully independent country. In Iran, too, there's a Kurdistan region with little, you know, self-governance. But other than that, you know, in Turkey, I mean, Kurdish nationalists say this area is Kurdistan, but there are also Kurds, Turks, and other people there. So it is really hard to define a border, although I think Kurds historically deserve to say we have a homeland. And I think the better solution is to decentralize countries like Turkey, Iraq, and Syria further, so that they can have a region without breaking up. Because creating an independent Kurdistan would be also a very bloody affair, God forbid, especially from Turkey, because there will be a lot of ethnic tensions and cleansings and population changes and so on and so forth.
In light of the move by President Trump, are we abandoning our allies? Did the Kurds fight with us, and were we fighting against? Are the Kurds and PKK one in the same, or is it a different group of Kurds? Are we abandoning anybody in this? And should we have gotten involved with it in the first place as it relates to, because it is all about Assad and Syria, is it not?
Yeah. It's about in Syria, but to come to back the first question, PKK and Kurds are not the same. PKK is a certain movement among the Kurds. It's an armed movement, actually defined as a terrorist group by Turkey and U.S. But in Syria, you know, it did the helpful job of fighting ISIS, so that's fine. But Turkey still has concern with specifically with the PKK. And I think U.S. pullout was inevitable, but it could have been more orderly. And by leaving a comprehensive solution to the reality on the ground, Turkey's concerns could have been calmed down, so Turkey wouldn't have this incursion. And the PYD, I mean, this PKK branch in Syria, could have been, you know, told to back up from some of its grand ambitions to create a bigger Kurdistan inside Syria. I mean, they make 10% of the population. They claim now 30% of the land. So things like that. Both sides could have been forced to take one step back, and I think this conflict could have been avoided. Unfortunately, that's not really the things generally work in that part of the world.
Could have been avoided by a better diplomatic approach?
I would say so, yes. And a more planned pullout, I think.
Gotcha. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. I would think we could talk about this for about 30 days and still not get through, navigate our way through all of the intricacies of it. But thank you, sir. Mustafa Akyol, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity. Well,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.